Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to finish up where I left off 2 weeks ago. Hebrews chapter 11, we're starting at verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, we'll be reading to the end of the chapter. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a matter of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when the end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Did you have any posters on your wall when you were a kid? Now, I don't know that that's a thing anymore. I don't think that it is. I don't know very many kids who have a poster above their bed or on the ceiling like some kids would do. It might have been like a musician, an actor, some fashion guru, you know, a rodeo hero. Somebody, who was it that you wanted to be like, that you looked up to? I had a poster of Pele. Who? Yeah. The greatest soccer player of his time. Pele was this Brazilian soccer player, and he revolutionized the idea of what was possible in soccer. His creativity, his ingenuity, the ease of his moves. For decades upon decades, he was the greatest soccer player who had ever lived. So I wanted to be like Pele. So I had a poster of Pele on my wall. He was awesome. Who did you have on your wall? If the kids and teenagers in Israel could have had posters on their walls, the people in the stories from Hebrews chapter 11 probably would have populated a lot of walls. I mean, you have the patriarchs. You've got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, those are obvious go-tos. They're, you know, by virtue of their importance to Israel, the significance that they held for that people, they would make the cut. They would have all sorts of different posters. You've got Joseph, you know, the dream reader, the right-hand man to Pharaoh, who actually provided land to Israel so that they could become a huge nation later on. You've got Moses, the friend of Yahweh, receiver of the law of God, the greatest prophet of his time and since. You know, the one who parted the waters and led them out of Egypt. There are some great names in this list. And for them, these figures are a little bit like some of our national heroes, people that we look up to and we quote and we remember fondly from our nation's past. We've got George Washington, our first president. You know, I cannot tell a lie. I did chop down the cherry tree. We've got John Paul Jones, one of the greatest naval commanders in American history. And, we have not yet begun to fight. Nathan Hale, I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country. The Hall of Faith contains famous icons of the nation, famous icons of faith. And I see two things that I want to share today in this list of names that stands out to me, because I think that they both played a role in making these stories poster worthy. The first thing that I see is that their lives were marked by incredible hardship. See, a misconception that many people have is that if you're faithful to the Lord, then all will go well in your life. That God grants ease to people of faith. But do we see that truth revealed in the lies put on display for us in Hebrews chapter 11? I mean, consider some of the fears that these people would have experienced. If you just go through the list, even all the way back to the very beginning of chapter 11, there's a lot of fears that people lived through. I mean, think about Rahab. What fear might Rahab have experienced, knowing that any day now, Israel is going to come in and kill everyone? But they told me that I and my family would be safe because she had hid the spies. What fears, what uncertainty do you think she might have had in the moments before and even during the fall? What if they lied? What if they don't hold up their end of the bargain? You think that ever crossed her mind? I don't have any doubt that it crossed her mind. But she had faith. Moses' parents, what fear might they have felt as they sent their baby boy in a basket down the river. You think they had any fears, any hardship? Moses himself, he grew up in Pharaoh's home. He was an adopted son who refused to identify with his royal parents. But instead, he preferred to be associated as a Jew, the slaves. What kind of fears do you think Moses might have had? Or even when it came time for the Passover, Moses has left. He's received his calling to lead the people out of Israel. He comes back. All of the plagues have happened except for this final plague. God promised that the angel would pass over the houses with the blood of the lamb on the door. What fears do you think Moses might have had with this final plague? What if the angel doesn't come? What if the blood doesn't work? What if everything does work? It does play out the way that God said that it would. But what if, because of the fallout, Pharaoh losing his son also loses his mind? And he goes to kill them all in a vengeful rage, which eventually he does. What will this obedience cost me and my people? And when they got to the Red Sea and the chariots were pursuing them, what fear might he have had as he stands there in front of the Red Sea? Did I just lead these people into a trap? What did Abraham experience on that walk up the mountain? I just cannot even imagine. My stomach turns just to think about it. Nobody should have to lose a child, period. That is unimaginable pain and sorrow. But here we have a man who's supposed to sacrifice his only son by his own hand. Would anyone count themselves blessed to have experiences like that? Sometimes people think that the people on this list were great because God blessed them. They were the first ones picked on the dodgeball team. And God sheltered them. He protected them. They led a life of privilege. Some people are under the impression that that's how faith works in God's economy, that if you do good and you be good, then good happens to you. That if you want a successful life, an easy life here, be good. That's karma. Does God grant a life of ease to the faithful? Is that promised by God? No. Their life was hard. Nobody would choose on purpose to have those things happen to them. Sometimes what seems to be true, if you look at some of these stories, one might come to the conclusion that faith caused much of the trouble in their lives. For many of them, rather than removing trouble and hardship, the presence of faith in their life seemed to multiply their trouble and hardships. I mean, there are some hard stories on these pages. I mean, some of them are outlandish. Like, they are so wild and so extreme in what happened to these people that it's kind of easy sometimes to understand why some people lump biblical stories in with folklore stories, like Paul Bunyan and John Henry. You know, everybody knows those aren't true. Those are just fun stories. Now, those things don't happen in real life, right? You know, tossed in a lion's den, thrown into a fiery furnace, parting the waters of the sea, and then walking on dry land, you know, walls falling down because you marched around them and went, ah! I mean, stories are wild. They're also hard stories. Harsh things happened in their lives. Yes, there are some high points. You know, women received back their dead. Now that's amazing. But think about that for a second. What had to happen first? Yeah. They had to lose the people that they loved first before they could get them back. Nobody chooses that. The people being celebrated in these pages were tortured and flogged and imprisoned. They were cut in half, impoverished. They were made homeless. And for many of them, you know what they had to do to make it all stop? Stop being faithful to God. That's all they had to do. And life quite possibly would have gotten immediately easier. But they refused to give up on God. Which brings me to the second thing that I think makes these people poster worthy. Their lives were marked by incredible faith. This list runs the gamut of experiences. I think part of the reason why this list is as long and contains the names that it does is you have mothers, you have fathers, you have people hoping and praying to become mothers and fathers. You have stories of people in the prime of their life. You have people that are far along into their life. You have a man who lived such a good life that he was spared death by God. And you have a woman who literally made a living selling her body in sin. You see royalty. You see the destitute and the homeless. You see lost loved ones and people who nearly lost a loved one but received them back. You have confident people, you have cautious people, people of influence, people with no power at all. An incredible range of human experience is included in these stories. And I think that part of our takeaway from that is that anyone can make this list. Young, old, male, female, privileged, or poor. Anybody could be part of the Hall of Faith. There's somebody like you, somebody that you can relate to on this list. It's not just the wealthy, it's not just the royal, or not just the men, not just the women. A life of faith is for everyone. My favorite line comes in verse 38. I heard a response to it as I read it earlier. It just gets me all sorts of excited. I love this line. The world was not worthy of them. Wow. That's an amazing statement. That is no small thing to say about someone. Think about your own life for a moment. What person in your life have you known about whom this statement is also true? I hope that you have had the privilege of knowing such people in your life. where at the end of their life, and people have looked back and they reflect upon all of the things that they have done, all the things that have happened to them, and they think, man, this world was not worthy of them. Here's a question for you to take very seriously. Will anyone say that about us? I mean, not right now, probably. It's possible. That'd be fantastic if it were true. I don't know if anybody ever even said that about these people while they were still alive. I mean, maybe perhaps a few. But after the fullness of their life had been spent, their reputation was immortalized in the words of Scripture. And after the fullness of your life has been spent, will there be a temptation for others to say, man, the world was not worthy of them. The world was not worthy of him. The world was not worthy of her. What changes do you need to make in your life to make that possible? You know, what could I add to my life as it is right now that would increase those odds? What would I need to remove, to excise from my life to earn such a reputation as that? Valuable questions for any devout Christian to ask themselves regularly. What would it take for me to qualify for this list? Part of the purpose of the Hall of Faith is to get us to ask that very question. We are wise if we choose to imitate the lives of those who were faithful before us, to model our life after theirs. Yes, they had fear. They faced death, rejection, poverty, homelessness, losing their livelihood, lost friendships. They had fear, but they also had faith. And faith empowered them to put away their fears and to do what was right in God's eyes. There's this phrase repeated over and over in this chapter. We even sang this phrase in one of our songs this morning. By faith. Over and over it's repeated, by faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. And if you were to ask me, I think that faith is the main character of Hebrews chapter 11. It's not Moses nor Abraham. In my opinion, faith is what is receiving the true spotlight in Hebrews chapter 11. We aren't really supposed to read these stories and be impressed by the people. We're really to read these stories and be impressed by what faith can do. So here's the main takeaway that I want you to grasp from these stories. In order to communicate this to you, I'm going to go back to a 1980s commercial because I think it perfectly captures the point that I'm trying to make here.
Crazy Glue was strong enough to hold this man suspended in midair. Crazy Glue repairs a broken china mug. Just run a little Crazy Glue along the crack and it's fixed in less than 10 seconds. Bonds almost anything. A plastic knob, a plastic plug, a rubber boot, a metal brooch, a fishing rod, a cycle grip, model planes and model trains, a doorknob screw, a flashlight case, the broken trim on any car. Bonds in seconds with amazing strength without clamps, mixing or mess. Get Crazy Glue today.
Crazy Glue is available at these fine stores.
That's a great commercial. Crazy Glue is strong enough to hold a grown man by a beam by his hard hat. Have you ever needed to do that? Ever in your life have you thought, oh man, if I only had Crazy Glue because I need to glue my hard hat to this beam and hang there for a while? No. No. That is a ridiculous advertisement at that point, right? I will never need glue for that reason. Never once in my life have I ever known anybody to need to glue a hard hat to a beam so they can hang by it. But if I did, I know what glue I would use, right? But why did that commercial work? Because if that glue is good enough to do that, then when I need to fix my rubber boot or my broken mug, it will most certainly be up to that task. Right? And I think that is Hebrews 11 in a nutshell. Think about these stories. Am I at any risk at all of being thrown into a lion's den? No. Am I at any risk of being thrown into a fiery furnace? No. Are you at any risk of being sawn in two for your faith? No. The stories in this chapter are not normal, are they? The accounts of faith in the Hall of Faith are extreme examples to show how powerful faith is. If it was sufficient to help those people endure those extreme examples, to accomplish what they did for the Lord, it surely is more than capable of getting me through whatever trials that I find myself in this life. These are extreme examples. It's the far end of the spectrum. None of us are likely to experience such things as they did, but if we did find ourselves in these kinds of situations, would faith work for you? Would it fail you? Wouldn't fail you. It has been proven to work. Our experience is not as extreme as theirs is. But it doesn't mean that we don't experience panic and stress and worry. It doesn't mean that the problems that we face don't loom large for us. They're big to us. They're important to us. They're significant to us. And I think that the core point that our author is establishing here, I think the main takeaway of this whole chapter is this. Faith can get you through. It is good enough for holding a man to a beam. It can handle your broken lamp. I want to add this, though. I think this is an important addition to it. It wasn't just faith. It was faith in God that worked. People put their faith in all sorts of ridiculous places. I just have a hard time understanding some of them. They put their faith in the alignment of the planets. They put their faith in crystals that they carry around in their purse. They put their faith in fate. They put their faith in their own willpower and strength. Only faith in God has the ability to save and to rescue and to conquer and to deliver the way it did in these pages. And I want you to understand that part of what we see here is that faith in God is always rewarded. Sometimes it's rewarded here. And blessed are those for who are given a reprieve from the sorrows that this world is pressing upon them. Because sometimes God gifts miracles of healing and restoration as a result of faith. And we celebrate those moments and we praise God for them. And we see those kinds of stories in the Hall of Faith, right? Where people women were given back their dead. They were brought back to life. Praise the Lord. But we also know that some of our famous faith people died without receiving what they hoped for, because the real reward of faith is not found on earth. And for some of us, life will be struggle. But remember that faith is always rewarded either in this life or the next. And the reward of faith is of greater value than anything this world has to offer. God is faithful. May we be faithful too. Will you pray with me? Father God, you are perfect in all of your ways. Never once have you ever failed to keep your word, to deliver upon your promises. You are the true God. You're a God of no limits, no hindrances. Nothing is beyond you. You can raise the dead. You can make fire fall down from heaven. You can part the waters, and you can mend a broken heart. And we appeal to you today, Lord. We ask that you heal our wounds. Give us manna for the day, that we might endure all that life throws at us. More importantly, that we might be lights in the darkness, showing the way to you. Grow our faith, Lord. Guide and direct our steps. All this we ask in the name of your Son. Amen.